And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Welcome to Sports Talk on a Tuesday. Well, crunch time was reservations only. We done been full up. We started with Austin Meek of the, wait for it, Athletic. Talk with Dave Kamens, talking some good stuff. British Open on Thursday. And then we wrapped with What Are You Doing? Some worthy candidates for sure. And we start the 4 o'clock hour with a heads up from, I got a text from a listener with a shot of a volleyball tournament in SoCal. And there's a table there that has a LeVar Ball's Big Baller brand, BBB. And he's got like one of those boards you write on, like in a locker room, with like, we're gonna run a seal here and here and run the play in the alley.
It's a whiteboard.
And it's a clearance sale. I mean, t-shirts, which were once $50, are now being sold for $5 at local volleyball tournaments. For $100, you can get a pair of shoes, a hoodie, a t-shirt, and socks. And the article in USA Today, written by Andrew Joseph, Big Baller brand demise looks imminent with sad clearance sale at local gym. And I'll tell you what, remember he was trying to pitch his kids and he wanted a $1 billion sneaker deal? With the ZO2 kicks, they turned down. By the way, the guy who wrote this article really turns a word well in just reporting facts, able to just zing, zing, zing. Lonzo had turned down stable and lucrative offers from Nike and Adidas to promote the family brand. It's been less than 2 years, and like he said, everything that could have gone wrong has. I mean, weren't they $400 sneakers?
No, they were $600 to $800. I remember when the price was announced on those shoes, a lot of people were going to like whatever like random thing they could find on like a wholesale website, or like people going to Craigslist for like things you could buy.
You could have got a car.
We could have gotten cars. We could have bought livestock. Like, we could have bought multiple cows and goats, like in a package deal from a farmer off of the, you know, the Springfield, wherever Craigslist they were posting this from. Could have bought livestock for less money than we could have gotten these shoes. And it's just, oh boy, it's been a disaster. I mean, Lonzo got the Big Baller brand logo that he had tattooed on him. He got it covered up. It's a worse, I mean, it's a better tattoo now than just, you know, having your own brand tattooed on you. He got it changed into dice, which suddenly, instead of 6 sides, they had 7 or 8. It looks horrible, but it's better than
having
your own
BBB
brand.
Yeah. And so they couldn't honor orders. They got a failing grade from the Better Business Bureau. And then that one dude was alleged to have embezzled money. That's when the Ball brothers were like, yeah, we're out of the contest. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. The MLB slate for the evening is off and underway, and it's a full one. We'll get to some of that. Got some NBA notes to cover. NFL camp starts tomorrow for the Denver Broncos. That is crazy. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline is always open. We take calls just 3 hours a day on it. But right now, let's get to it and bring in John. John, good afternoon. How's it going?
It's going great, Steve. How are you?
All right. What's up?
Yeah, I just can't believe, in my snarky comment, I just can't believe that the Big Baller brand didn't take over the world. But moving right along, I'm going to be playing Diamond Woods tomorrow for the very first time. I know you're very familiar with the course. I just thought I'd milk you for some tips so I could beat my buddy Rod. Got any special things I should look for out there?
Play better than me. DW, you'll see once you get out there. It's a really unique track. It was built onto the side of a hill. So I'll tell you this. Make a note of where Territorial Road is. When you're reading a putt or hitting your approach shot, somehow, some way, the ball will break towards Territorial.
Wow.
I'm telling you, that's the best advice you'll get.
That's worth three strokes. That should get me about even or maybe pass him up.
No, John, I'm really looking forward to hearing what you had to say about it. I love it. I'll get back to you.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
All right, take it easy. Yeah, the first couple times we played, I mean, we're going back a long time ago now. I mean, you know, 15 years, 17 years. And the guys we're out there with is like, everything breaks towards Territorial. I'm like, get out of here. Look at the, I'm like on my knees behind the fringe reading the putt. I was like, this has to go left to right. All right, do whatever you want. And you putt it and it would go straight because that's towards Territorial. Or it would break the other way. And it's just, you have to remember, it's built into like the side of the big hill. It's a distinctive track. Liz and Jeff and the folks out there are awesome. It's challenging. You've got elevation shots. You've got placement shots. And the one thing that I love about it and some of the better courses around here, when you're on the green putting, John, if you're still listening, that's how fast they are. You get the greens could never be in politics because they're honest and true.
Also, if you hit the shot of your life with a 7-iron, you can hit a 7-iron on the 13th hole about 200 yards. You just got to absolutely pure it. You got to hit the ever-living crap out of the ball. It'll kind of stay down the right side a little bit. It's going to roll down to the bottom of the hill. It's going to be perfect. But again, you have to hit the most perfect 7-iron you've ever hit in your life, but you can do it.
Yeah, we played last Wednesday with my buddy Bill. And it was great because, you know, now when you're out there and with new players, it's like, just trust me. I'm not a caddy. I don't read greens very well. I just know Territorial's that way. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Hit us up on the text line, 321-0824. You can also try us on Twitter at 953 The Score for the station. For the show, it's at SportsTalk 953. For Nick, at Rick Nodgers. All right. So I mentioned that there were two really stupid tweets I had seen and one awful text regarding Megan Rapinoe. So over the weekend on Twitter, so now you've got Anthony Davis on the Lakers joining LeBron. So here it is. Here's the tweet. With AD now on the Lakers to join LeBron, is Kobe even a top five Laker? And it's what I've come up with a phrase that a couple people have really, you know, on Facebook and some of you text me. I call it head hurt stupid because it's not just dumb. It's like, oh. You formulated this thought, and are you saying it for effect to generate a conversation? Because if you believe it, I'm going to have to take a nap. I will have started developing migraines. I'm going to need aspirin because it's that dumb. All right, let's get one thing straight when it comes to the Los Angeles Lakers. I know George Mikan can be thrown in there. We're talking the L.A. Lakers. The NBA back in that day was a little bit different. There were like four good players. Jerry West, Kobe, and Magic. 1, 2, 3 locks. Are the pick your order. Depending on, I would go Magic, West, Kobe. They're career Lakers through and through. For those who are bringing up Wilt Chamberlain, hey, I think Wilt is denied his place in the GOAT conversation. I don't get it. He missed most of one season with the Lakers. He tore up his knee in 68-69. Came back for the playoffs.
Nice.
So he played 4 years and 12 games. And remember, Chamberlain, Kareem, Shaq had substantial accomplishments with other teams. But Kareem's 14 years, you know, you can consider him a Laker. And I'll tell you what, if you really wanted to tell the truth, Elgin Baylor really makes it, you know, we talk about the Mount Rushmore. The Mount Rushmore, by rights, should be Baylor, West, Kobe, and Magic, because they never played for anybody else. And by the way, if off the top of your head you had to guess what Baylor's career average, not his peaks, he averaged 27 points and 14 rebounds and 5 assists a game. He was a 10-time All-NBA first-teamer. 10 times, not just, you know, when they'd said, who are the 5 best players in the league? Him. 10 different times. And why is the statement itself, head hurts stupid? What's AD's career numbers as a Laker? Go ahead, I'm waiting. Oh, that's right, he hasn't broken a sweat. How about a LeBron? What, remember that 1 year he took him on the big playoff run? When was that? My memory is slipping. I'm getting a little older. So, yeah. Don't be a jerk. Just do it.
LeBron James is 233rd on the all-time list of most games played in a Lakers uniform.
Where's AD?
Well, he's technically not on the list.
Okay, thank you.
LeBron James actually, by playing in a 55th game, passed himself against a true Laker Mount Rushmore player, Timofey Mozgov, with 54.
All right, good research. Our Cracker Jack staff all over it again.
LeBron this year will pass some all-time greats like Luol Deng, Troy Murphy, Jack Murph
from Notre Dame.
And, another Mount Rushmore member, Tyronn Lue.
Ty Lue. I fought Ty Lue and Ty Lue won.
So 7 games for LeBron next season, and he will pass the all-time
exclusive
great Tyronn
company.
Lue. Wow. You have to put LeBron. I mean, he's passed Timofey, and he's going to pass T. Lue. He's a Mount Rushmore player, Steve.
Like I said, I will discuss Kareem in that conversation, because he was there 14 years, won 5 titles, a finals MVP. But if you look at what Kareem did for the Bucks, winning their own title, winning them their lone title and being there, you know, you could. There's another fan base who sees Kareem in another light. So if you want to make it there's a quartet. What's next? A quintet is a fivesome.
Ooh, wow. The barbershop quartet of... That's the next thing. Instead of the Mount Rushmore of things.
The barbershop quartet.
Just a barbershop
a
quartet
franchise.
Of Lakers. Wow. That's
you
a game
could
changer.
But somebody actually decided that by signing AD, he now surpassed all those guys as an all-time great Laker. And it's not the best player to play on your team. I mean, you could make a case that, so who's the greatest Seattle Seahawk running back? Well, Franco Harris once was. It's like, is any of this getting through?
The only thing where that doesn't apply is Michael Jordan is still the best wizard.
No, he's not.
He could be. Just by process of this is the greatest player of all time, and he happened to also play for...
But they have Hall of Famers. They got Wes Unseld, they got Elvin Hayes, they got Earl Monroe.
You're telling me that they wouldn't also cling to Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, if he wasn't, 900 years old playing with them after playing baseball and doing Space Jam?
We're going to have to bring in our Beltway guy. We'll ask Brad a little bit later, because he's... As a matter of fact, I don't know... If there are more isolated cases than, either there's nobody we know. I don't know if we know another,
Calgary Flames fan, if we know any of those. So there's a Baltimore Bullet / Wizards fan who also roots for the Caps and talks, you know, every time there's a draft, NBA draft, and something awful happens. Brad also brings up Len Bias. I know some Washington, D.C. football fans, a couple of others. Yeah, what's the
we've got a Clippers fan as well.
Yeah.
Boy, yeah, the Eugene fan base is spread out. It's not very not a lot of depth, but there certainly is a wide range of teams that are covered.
Somebody says by that logic, Wayne Gretzky is the greatest St. Louis Blues player.
He
of
is.
All time.
He could be. Well, no, I think now it's actually Jordan Binnington.
It's Ryan actually O'Reilly. Brett Hull.
Jordan Binnington.
The Hall of Fame.
Did Brett Hull ever win a Stanley Cup with the Blues, Steve?
No.
He cheated his way to a Stanley Cup by being in the crease. That's what he did.
Whoa.
Nice, he broke a rule, Steve.
Nice 99 reference, too.
He broke a rule, Steve.
And it was Brett Hull in the crease, too. That's the unbelievable part about the whole thing. All right. 284. 8571. Well, you know how we do tweet of the day? That might be the dumbest tweet of my vacation. So
you didn't read many of my tweets then?
Like I said, when I'm on vacation, I'm pretty much gone.
And I mean, I'm a little mad you weren't reading my dumb tweets, but I appreciate you not putting
me
on that list.
Not one of those on. You know, I took some notes over the weekend. And we didn't talk about that. Oh, yeah, actually, you did. You brought it up. The Angels combined no-hitter against the Mariners. And by the way, I'm a believer that when you have a game like that that's so lopsided, 13-0, man, it's really difficult to maintain because your tendency is you don't want to really work hitters. You don't want to be going 3-2 and fouling off. It's like the tendency is you just put it in there to not hit a 14-run homer.
No, that's exactly what it is. I read an article actually on The Athletic that Andrew Bagley wrote about the 10-year anniversary of Jonathan Sanchez's no-hitter, almost perfect game against the Padres. That was 10 years ago, like last week or whatever. But Baggerly wrote about it, and Sanchez mentioned it. When the Giants jumped up to like a 4-5-0 lead after 3-4 innings, it was like, oh, cool, I can still attack guys, and I can attack the zone, and I can throw strikes earlier, pitches that these guys maybe wouldn't normally swing at that would be balls because they're trying to get themselves back into the game, and I don't have to worry about, oh, this is now a bigger pitch than it normally is. It's just that I've got a big lead. I can be more aggressive. And so you see a lot of the no hitters and perfect games and stuff are in games that aren't close because there's less pressure on them, on the pitcher.
I would think it would make them want to bear down. Now, I did see somebody viewing it through a Seattle lens who said, if you look at the last 6 at-bats of the Mariners, it's like these idiots were swinging for home runs. Why would you not try and break up a no-hitter so you didn't have to be known as, oh, yeah, that those are major league hitters in this day and age when everybody hits 60 homers and you couldn't even manage a single safety? I jotted down another note. Max Kepler of the Twins, so he was up 5 straight times against Trevor Bauer, and he homered every time.
Pretty good.
That's amazing. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We did not get to who the best closer in the game is now, and I'm more about the names on the list and how the narrative has shifted since, you know, it was Rivera and it was Papelbon and, you know, Trevor Hoffman and those guys. And they were kind of household words. And like it's now, all right, Mr. Hand, Brad Hand. By the way, 13.5 Ks per 9 innings. That's pretty good. You're a guy, you mentioned the Fresh Prince, Will Smith. Shane Green, who's not really that good a pitcher, all of a sudden now he's lights out for the Tigers. Ken Giles of Toronto, Felipe Vasquez of the Pirates. And by the way, Kirby Yates of the Padres, I would say 30 saves and a 1-1 ERA is going to nose his way into that conversation.
He's pretty good. Yeah. But it's weird that like most of these teams have the dominant closer, and they have, like, in most cases, halfway decent starting pitching, or maybe a really good ace, and you've got a guy who can go seven innings and then, you know, maybe into the eighth a little bit, and then you can go for a five-out save with your closer. But other than that, it's like, okay, this guy's maybe going to go five, and we're going to have some trouble six through eight, and if we can get to the closer, that'd be great, but I don't really trust us having to be able to get to the point where we have to use our closer on a night like this.
By the way, speaking of closers, when Darnold took Chapman Yard,
he floated a curveball in there.
And I got two texts I can't read on the air. One from my dad, and one from my cousin, who's like, first of all, it's bothering Yankee fans so much that this guy is tearing up the Yankees, because he was a Mets guy who they dumped. He was on the scrap heap. The Dodgers picked him up. He appeared in a game, then landed with Tampa. Now he's hitting like 285. He's got like 9 homers, 36 RBIs. It's like, thanks. He had 3 homers last night. It's like, I hate that guy. I never gave him a second thought. Now I hate him. All right, let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline and bring in Jack. Jack, how's it going?
Hey, man, he hit 3 last night, but he won the game with a home run the last time they were in Tampa.
Yeah, I know. The walk-off.
He hit 4 in 3 games.
Yeah, all of a sudden, he's the greatest hitter ever when he sees the pinstripes. He's like a bull seeing red.
You know, all last night I'm watching the game, and they're pitching him outside. Home run. Pitch him outside. Home run. Pitch him outside. Walk. Go in really tight. Ball. Walk. Then pitch him outside and home run. I mean, get a clue. You got to go inside on the guy.
Yeah, that last one especially.
It was out.
He provided the power. I mean, he just hit a fly ball to right field. Would it end up in the second row?
320.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, you know, they shouldn't have pitched him the way they did all night. I hope that tonight already he's grounded out, so that's good.
They got his number.
The reason I called is because the last 2 weeks, watching games, every night an umpire has been hit with a foul ball in the mask. The guy the other night, I think he broke his arm. He got hit in the arm, and he had to leave the game. These guys are getting smacked, and it's like every game. Tonight, I started watching, he got hit in the mask in the first inning.
Wow.
Wow. It's strange, because you don't normally see that all these games in a row.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because, I appreciate the call, Jack. I think it has to do with, you know, guys are regularly pumping it up there at 98, 100 miles an hour. So a catcher has it go off its a foul tip or something, and all of a sudden it's like tip thud, and it's like, that, I don't care what kind of equipment you have on. That's got to smart a little bit.
Yeah, when I've umped, it's happened to me as well. And it's always like the kid, there's a kid on the mound who throws really hard, and maybe a kid at the plate who's got a slow swing or like can't react to the fastball because he just saw an off-speed pitch or something. And you can be set up exactly where you're supposed to be, but if a kid takes a weird swing and hits the ball the right way, it's just going to, you know, thud in your face. And it's just a lot of loud noise, and hopefully you've got the right mask on and it's set up properly and it's just, you know, it's gonna thud, it's gonna hit you, and you gotta hope it gets you in a place where maybe it's just glancing off to the
padded side.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you're not gonna take it literally off the front of the mask, because you could knock you out for a couple
of
weeks. Yeah, it's not fun.
I've seen things like guys actually take off walking boots after a surgery to prove to us that they're healthy. People have sent us videos of them competing in track events or other sporting events in high school and college, maybe to get their speed rating up. The stuff that these guys will do to make us see the things that they want us to see really has no limits.
No limits. Clint Oldenburg, who is a Madden game ratings adjuster, talks about how concerned these guys are with their Madden rating.
Like,
I could almost understand the fans. Does it impact the game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay, when you start picking hairs about, oh, wow, this guy's a 98 overall versus this guy's a 97 overall, like, okay, that's kind of where you would think, like, eh, maybe not. But if you're, like, you know, playing Madden, and a lot of people get way too serious into Madden, more than I ever could, but, like, you know, you're playing online, or you're trying to set up a team, or maybe you're drafting players, or you're playing against a friend, and it's like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is like a 90 overall, or whatever his rating is, and, you know, they've got somebody who's, you know, real technically not as good. Like, the big comparison that everybody was getting mad about was Phil Rivers was a 93 and Aaron Rodgers was like a 90 overall. And it's like, that's kind of going to make a bit of a difference in terms of, you know, if you're playing a Packers-Chargers game and how well Philip Rivers, even though he's older, is going to play compared to Aaron Rodgers when you think Aaron Rodgers is so much better. And there's a whole bunch of different stats that go into how important they are and, you know,
so
other factors, awareness, arm strength, and accuracy.
Could somebody with, like, Fitzpatrick beat somebody with Brady? I mean, isn't the player somewhat responsible for accuracy and hand-eye coordination? And
yeah, there is some user influence and stuff like that, but you can, I mean, it's a computer and it's a video game, and you can find little glitches that make it so that, yeah, maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick is the perfect quarterback because you run a certain play and you do something dumb and the computer is just like, I've never seen that before, and the game just breaks down and all of a sudden Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing as a 99 overall because, like, that's just what happened.
Okay, and what interested me was who was it, Keenan Allen, who played at Cal and is now with the Chargers and is a terrific player. So he was, like, really bent out of shape and said, I'm not playing Madden anymore, period. So once, like, the season starts, is anybody caring about Madden compared to, like, their fantasy team or, like, their favorite team? Or when Keenan Allen has 101 catches for 1,400 yards and 12 TDs, is anybody like, yeah, but his Madden rating wasn't good enough?
No, probably not. But that's the thing, is, like, we're getting to the point where, like I said yesterday, I was making a joke in the Richter scale. Hey, it's time to put the sunscreen on. We got to start getting ready to inflate the pool inflatables and wiping the cobwebs off all the patio furniture, because we're getting ready to dive and cannonball into football season. And so part of the first step of getting ready to football season is, you know, the Madden ratings come out. And, like, it's like, this is football. Football is happening. You can think about playing the regular season, you know, a month or two before it even starts, and you can go through and you can, you know, play on easy and win 200-0 every single time if you wanted to, because you can. And, like, as the season goes along, if people really care about Madden, they do week by week adjustments of the ratings, so you get more of, like, a live feel for how teams are playing, and they, you know, auto correct for how undervalued they ranked certain players, and they, you know, take ratings away and add ratings up. And it won't really matter if Keenan Allen has a gigantic week 3, his rating might jump up, you know, and he can feel great playing Madden again as himself.
Okay. All right.
I can see why, you know, you're also not a video game person. So I can see why you would think this is all big and dumb and
I, as big as the game is, I could see people being into it, but as opposed to a fan who, it, you know, that's their connection to, that's how they play NFL football. It's Madden.
Yeah, but that's kind of the
NFL players do realize that they're not going to get stopped in the middle of a route or a run and be like, no, you're going too fast.
No, like, most of my random knowledge of NFL players and, like, depth charts of teams, running backs and wide receivers and things is because I'm so heavily invested in fantasy football. Some other people are really good at knowing different systems and schemes people should play and routes people should run and where people should be put where, because they tried it in a computer simulation. It's why, like, when I play FIFA, the, you know, EA Sports soccer game, and I'm, you know, playing as Everton or whatever, I'm thinking, hey, why haven't they gone through and used this cheat code to get 100, you know, extra million pounds? And then they sign Messi and Ronaldo and, you know, Griezmann, and they just make the best team in the world. They don't understand. Why aren't they playing real life like a video game? Yeah, this is kind of like a big deal to them.
By the way, for the record, Keenan Allen, about 100 catches, 1,200 yards. 12.3 yards a catch isn't great. Six touchdowns isn't great. I mean, he's good, and he was on a really good team. And they may end up having Melvin Gordon hold out for the Bolts anyway. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. What the hell happened?
Max Muncy nearly hit another baseball into the ocean in Philly. It went
the ocean?
Into an ocean. He hit this baseball. He did a bat drop, so he hadn't even finished his backswing at this point. It probably went 450 feet, and it landed on like the mezzanine club level of the bleachers in right field. I think like clearing the bleachers and ended up on a concourse walkway. He hit that ball a mile.
When that boy gets hot, you do not want to get the ball in his zone because he doesn't miss. He's got a great home run cut. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I got the list of Emmy nominations, and it's really interesting in particular for somebody from my generation to be like, no, 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 no. I mean, you get the lead actresses in a comedy series. I don't think one of them is on what I would consider the traditional networks, you know, NBC, CBS, ABC, or Fox. And that just goes to show you what an awesome job the folks at Netflix and HBO and Showtime and BBC. If anybody's ever seen the show Fleabag, it's British. It's hysterical. I think they only pump out like 6 or 8 episode seasons, but Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and it's interactive. You know how, like, if you're watching Modern Family and somebody says something stupid or something ridiculous happens, they look into the camera like, yeah, I'm in trouble. The camera only, she's the only one cognizant of the camera. And I'm kind of a sucker for British humor, I guess. I just like the dry, witty, just the almost, dismissive, you're such an idiot type of humor that it's a beautiful thing. So are you a Madden player? Is Madden EA?
Yeah, so EA Sports has gone through and they've got most of the exclusive licenses to all of the pro sports. So they've got MLB, or no, they don't have MLB. That's The Show, which is a PlayStation exclusive. So they've got the NFL, the NHL, FIFA. They don't have the NBA 2K, the thing is, 2K does a really good NBA basketball game that, like, you know, basketball players like. I think EA still does NBA Live, but they might have given up because they fell so far behind 2K doing their video games, so I don't even know if that's a thing. But no, I went over this with Sam because we talked about it a little bit. I forgot how Madden got brought up again. I think it was because I was talking about how I became a Falcons fan. It was Mike Vick on the cover of Madden 04. But Sam and I went through the covers of like the last 10-plus years of Maddens. I haven't bought a Madden video game since 2010.
And of course, we used to hear about the Sports Illustrated Jinx, and then the Sports Talk Jinx.
Oh, that one's very much alive.
The cover of the Madden. How many times is that? Was J.J. Watt on there? Got hurt one year.
Was J.J. Watt? I don't think J.J. Watt was on the cover.
I just remember there have been guys who didn't LT, LaDainian Tomlinson. And by the way, for me to even be offering a guess, considering I've never played it. But
I don't think LaDainian Tomlinson has. Marshall Faulk has. Sean Alexander has.
Sean Alexander, I absolutely remember.
Yeah. Gronk was on a cover a couple years ago. I think one of the bigger curses was like Peyton Hillis. He showed up on it, and it was after he had like the biggest year of his career, and then he fell off. Antonio Brown was on the cover last year. He was okay. Tom Brady the year before that. He was okay. The curse has slowly died down over the years. I don't think it's gotten like as as bad as it used to have been with guys ending up on the cover and within, you know, 6 months of the season starting, they're not playing the rest of the season.
They're in a new career. Football's no longer for them. Right. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Man, somebody just talked Walker Buehler. Buehler yard to make it 3-1 Philadelphia.
Tannenism.
This was his first time pitching since the All-Star game. I think his first start since July 3rd. And it's not like he was originally injured, I think, earlier in the season. Or no, wait. That was last year where he took the line drive off his chest and ended up with something called a rib microfracture, which just sounds painful as all kind of hell.
Brad Miller hit a two-run home run.
All right. The old front court dude for the Sacramento Kings.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Guaranty RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Guaranty.com.
I think you coach them all as hard as you can. You try to get them as good as they possibly can, and then you let them go battle it out. I mean, eventually, one of them's got to go win it. We've got an interesting dynamic in there with Jalen, the older, more experienced guy that's been through a lot of battles. We've got two very young, talented players in there that are eager to make a name for themselves and get an opportunity at a young age. And so it's really, truly made the best man win.
Lincoln Riley, who insists every Jalen Hurts is not the lock starter for his Sooners this year. Of course, by the way, no big-time act to follow, right? You got Baker Mayfield, Heisman Trophy winner, first-round pick. Now people think he's going to be the next big thing in the league. Kyler Murray gave up baseball to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. And now Hurts is in there with Spencer Rattler, who's a true freshman, and a redshirt, Tanner Mordecai. And we could discuss this and more when we talk with George Schroeder tomorrow, who was at Media Day.
So if Rattler becomes the starter, do a bunch of Sooner fans, like, does their thing for, yeah, do they get the little, like, the little shakers? I mean, you can't obviously get, like, rattlesnakes.
Do not bring rattlesnakes to Memorial Stadium. We're against
right, or,
this.
Like, go looking out for rattlesnake, like, you know, tails or shakers.
Don't
but you could,
kill
you could
rattlesnakes.
Bring, no, don't, please don't do that. Only if they're attacking you, but even then, hey, they're more
just
scared
run.
Of you than you are of them.
Nothing could be more scared of me than a rattlesnake.
But like people have to bring like little like baby rattles or something that's got like the OU logo on them or whatever, and he comes out, he makes a big play, and instead of shaking or instead of cheering, you just hear a ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch from, you know, 75,000 people. That'd be cool.
I'm working on how cool that would be right now. At this point, I'm leaning towards disturbing, and I'm not going to any games.
Again, no actual snakes.
I would say if my wife and I agree on one thing about run, snakes well up the list. Yeah. She's also there with spiders.
Well, they're horrible. They have, I mean, they're at opposite ends of the spectrum, but it's like the horseshoe paradox where they're so far away from each other that they're actually kind of like closer together than the people that are like more at the top or whatever. So snakes with no legs are extremely creepy. Spiders with
way too many legs
are extremely creepy, and they kind of meet up. It's like, no, just go away, all of you. If you're going to be a spider and you're a cool spider who eats like other bugs that are going to bother me, you know, make a big sign with your web like Charlotte's Web. You know, put that up like I am a cool spider. Leave me alone. Or, you know,
some pig. Talk about Wilbur. Leave us alone.
Right. You know, let's go share your message that you're a really good spider friend by never showing your face to me.
We have also, because we're crazy, have a deal in our place that we don't kill them either. So we catch and release. My wife will be like, very loud, spider, try not to kill it. Well, I'm not really scared of spiders. I'm sure if I saw a big one, I would outrun Carl Lewis.
That's one of the great things that I've liked about living in Eugene is all of the bugs, for the most part, that I see on a regular basis are very manageable. Like, right. I'm still extremely
creepy. It's not a scorpion right. or a tarantula or some crap like
that. Yeah, it's not some
like
gigantic,
that.
You know, spider that's crawling
definitely
out of the
kill
depths.
You.
Yeah, yeah, I don't have to worry about that. It's, you know, it's just that spider's a little too close to me. I'm a little creeped out. I can manage. If you stay over there and you start walking away, that's totally fine. But they start getting close and you're worried about how many spiders have I eaten already this year.
Oh, God, that's so terrible.
No, it's not okay.
I have changed. First of all, I saw, it must have been a post on Facebook. Somebody was like, you know, about my age when we were kids and you'd see a bee, you'd scream and run away or try and hit it with a wiffle ball bat. But of course, what we've learned, how important they are. Now you see a bee, you're like, are you okay? How's the family? Can I get you a drink? You maybe want to relax for a while.
Yeah, so like there are cool bees, obviously, the ones that make honey and they're helpful. And like as we've learned about with the swarms that have shown up at baseball stadiums in the spring, like sometimes bees are just like, hey, we're going to be bees. We'll let you do your thing.
We're pollinating. Yeah. Leave us alone.
Yeah, we're just trying to start a new home. This baseball stadium looked really nice. We're just big fans. I thought we could stay. I'm sorry we didn't pay for tickets. Like, okay, we'll leave. You know, don't kill us. That's fine. But then you start messing around with like wasps.
Different thing.
Yeah, and like yellow jackets. It's like, hey, we kind of look like bees. We're cool too. And then just bite, 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 stab, stab, stab. Ugh.
I will tell you this. When I'm in, and I do a lot of work in the yard, I still cut the lawn and do all that. And we've got a lot of plants and trees. So we draw them. A bee, I'm like, fine. When I see a wasp or a yellow jacket, I realize I've still got a pretty good first step. That's what I can say.
They're quick, though, and they swarm around, and they come around you, and like the yellow jackets are a lot louder, and they're more aggressive because they know they can sting you or bite you, and they don't die. Man, it's
three
it's
summers ago.
Ah, just leave me alone.
Maybe it was spring. I'm outside, and there's buzzing of as if a bee is right by your head. And then I look at one of our it was a really smaller tree, more of a shrub. Oh my God, it was infested with bees.
Nope.
It was like it
Time
looked like
move.
A hive.
Time. You should have moved.
Nope. Went online. Within, I'll say, 90 minutes, a beekeeper showed up. Full outfit and just got them all. Got them all. Do you want anything? Do you want? No. I'm happy you were able to save them. And they, you know, my biggest fear was, where are all the dogs?
Right. Yeah.
Because you get too near and they're going to protect the queen. But we went online, got a number, and the guy was like, okay, where are you? I think he was from Cresswell or something. And he just came and got them. It was the most impressive thing I've ever seen. Because I was like you. I was like, so we've got to move out of the state now, right?
Oh, yeah. You have to go away. You said a bush was infested with wasps in your front.
No, bees. Regular bees.
Oh, just
regular. You could see it was a beehive.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, sometimes those wasps, they get all tricky on you or whatever. But, you know, oh, boy, yeah.
No, if it was a wasp, I'd have, right now, I'm living in Zaire or something. Get as far away from that house as possible.
Just burn the bush down. Just burn the neighborhood
down. Simplicity.
I'm sorry, there were wasps in my backyard. I had to.
I nuked the entire neighborhood, and I gave nobody any warning because I didn't want to scare anybody. I took pictures. Would you rather have me blown up your house or dealt with this? Okay, it's cool. You blew up my house. We're insured. But
the bees are gone, right? They're not one of those, they're not like cockroaches that
can't survive. No,
the nuclear
and holocaust. That dude showed up and got in the beekeeper outfit. And I would say from the moment we noticed, it was maybe 2 hours till he was there. They were gone. It was like it never happened. It was magic. It was awesome. All right.
It was awesome.
Because it was awesome.
Tannenism.
I need to share some of these outstanding performances because it's TV. It's the Emmy Awards. I mean, we watch a lot of TV. We talk about a lot of TV. And there's a lot of good stuff on. Do you watch Barry on HBO?
Nope.
Okay. So no HBO shows?
I did Game of Thrones. I'll do Last Week Tonight. I've tried to watch The Wire a couple times. I haven't gotten into Big Little Lies at all.
That's great, by the way. Wow, is that show. Next week's the finale. Unbelievable. Somebody just texted, by the way. He's got a friend. I know we've got to take a break. He's a firefighter who works for Bureau of Land Management, not scared of bears, cougars, or snakes, but bald-faced hornets make him run for the hills.
That sounds horrifying.
Sounds like a hornet with a face that's bald.
Yeah, no,
so it's
no.
An angry old man.
I am
that's
so
a
happy
hornet?
I'm so happy I'm inside right now. You have no idea.
Get out of here.
Well, I am. I may move again. The whole bee thing, I survived. This bald-faced hornets? No. No, that sounds terrible. Break time. 5 o'clock hours next. 95.3 The Score.
What the hell's going on out here?